Praise God. Are we going to give that a shot here? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, say this after me. This is my Bible, inspired and living Word of God, given to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare that I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. As I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as my wife hinted on me, you know, I've planned a sort of a new series that we're going to start tonight, and this has been in the planning for probably 3-4 weeks, and it just, you know, it just continually amazes me how in line when you know, when we're in doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, that everything you do everywhere you go just lines up with the same theme. And so, you know, for two days we talked about provision for the vision. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight goes along just with what we heard all weekend. But before I start, I realized, coming back, how much God loves this church in particular. And the people, because you're the church, right? Did you know that you are His special person? I mean, and I'm not just joking with you. Because I'm going to share something with you that only about 200 pastors have heard, and it is the Word of the Lord for 2016. And I'm telling you what, other than those 200, not a single person on the face of this earth has heard what I'm about to share with you. And Brother Jerry is going to bring it tomorrow morning for the very first time to the world. And you're going to hear it tonight. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. See how much God loves you? I'm serious. All right, listen with your spirit. How many know last year, Brother Jerry said that 2015 would be the year of visitations, of manifestations, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, right? And he gave it all in rhyme. Well, this year it didn't come in rhyme, but it's interesting. You know, understand that just because He declares that the year will be whatever it is, that doesn't mean when the year ends that that ends. No, all that continues along with the new. You understand? So 2015 will continue to be the year of visitations, manifestations, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. But He said this: there are extraordinary things that are taking place in the heavenlies. And 2016 will come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. More and more notable miracles will break loose in the earth. More and more signs and wonders will break loose. More and more angelic visitations. More and more healings and deliverances from demonic activity will break loose. And more finances will break loose. So my people can do more and more for the kingdom of God, saith the Lord. During this time of the great breaking loose, the enemy will no longer be able to hold back that which my faithful ones have stood in faith for. Not even the things that looked as though they would never come to pass or ever come to pass, for I will cause them to manifest suddenly and to do so in such a way that no one will be able to deny the greatness of your God. Yes, 2016 will be a year in which the faithful shall be rewarded beyond their highest expectations, and they shall abound in my blessings like never before. Someone give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 2016 will be the year of the great breaking loose. 2016 will be the year that the faithful shall abound. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you, the faithful. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to preview Those of you that don't have plans for tomorrow morning, the church that Brother Jerry passed, well, he doesn't pastor, his son-in-law pastor. Well, not a son-in-law anymore, but that's a long story. Anyway, the church that he founded, all right, he's preaching there tomorrow. It's called the Heritage of Faith Christian Center. They stream live their messages. So tomorrow morning, if you want to listen to the Word live, I will tell you, it would be a great place to go. We definitely are going to be listening tomorrow. He's actually going to preach on the vision that and the Word that the Lord gave to him. And so I'm looking forward to hearing that. And we'll probably do that here too, because we always spend some time. We break the thing down line by line, precept upon precept. We go through the Bible. We'll see what the Bible has to say about it so that we get a thorough understanding of what's being said. Amen? But did you find Ephesians 4? Hallelujah. I haven't, so you guys are ahead of me. Good for you. Let me find Ephesians 4 here. This is concerning what I just read to you. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 20. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, "Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose." Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, you're right. 320. Gave you the wrong. Yep, I see. I got my finger right on the 4 there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." What is that? That is the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. I'm excited, boy. I'll tell you. I'll tell you, when Brother Steve told me that he just got 100,000 square foot building on 48 acres, and the guy just gave him the papers and said, "Here, it's yours." I said, "That's exactly what I said next." He laid his hands on me, prayed, and declared, and he said, "You know, Brother Chris, it's coming." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So, with that, we are going to start a new series tonight. And this is something that I taught on almost 3 years ago. And, you know, as I've been seeking the Lord's will for us, I believe that he would have me go back there. And, of course, it's not going to be the same as I preached it 3 years ago, because I have better understanding and better revelation, and so do you, amen? So we're going to believe for greater revelation this time. So I know some of you were here when I taught this. Some of you were not. No matter which category you happen to fall in, though, this series will be vital for your progress. It will be... It's going to be vital for your growth, for your success. It's going to be absolutely vital for your fulfillment of the plan of God that he has for you. And you heard Pastor Joe just say it just in a few words, but God has a plan for every single person. It's not just the pastor. He has a magnificent plan that he's designed for you. And so this series is going to help you be able to fulfill that plan, because every one of you is called, all right? Everyone has the plan of God, has a plan that God has designed for your life before the foundation of the world, right? And so it's a plan that only you can fulfill. How do I know that? How many people out of 7 billion plus people on the face of the planet have the same thumbprint? Nobody. Not one. Really? Out of 7 billion? Why is that? You're unique. That means God has a plan for you. And a plan that only you can fulfill. If he didn't need you to fulfill the plan, he needed to bring you here. Right? There's a plan. Hallelujah. And the good thing is, the exciting thing is, your plan's not my plan. My plan's not your plan. But when we're all working our plan all together, oh my gosh. It works amazingly. Amen? Hallelujah. So, That's my job as your pastor. That's Pastor JoJo's job. Our job is to equip you and enable you to fulfill the plan that God has for your life. So I'm going to read to you out of Ephesians 4. I guess that's why I had it in my mind here. I'm going to Ephesians 4 here. Now, just listen, because I'm going to read out of the brand new Amplified version that came out. Not the classic side, but the new one. So I don't know. I know that I don't think anybody has the new one here, do you? I don't know if they're even for sale yet. But the wording is slightly different. But I want you to listen to the way this is worded. And the theme that I'm going to read you is basically the unity of the Spirit, okay? Ephesians 4, he says, "So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. With all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control, with patience, bearing one another in unselfish love." He says, "Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful." Isn't that what I just said? Each one working together to make the whole successful. There is one body of believers and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. Excuse me, lost my place here. We're called to one hope when called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. Yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately, but in different ways and in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and abundant gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same as he who also has ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, that is the whole universe. And his gifts to the church were varied. He himself, now this he himself who? Jesus himself appointed some apostles, who are the special messengers, the representatives, some prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and some as teachers to shepherd and to guide and to instruct. And he did this, watch now, to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we're no longer children. In other words, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. No, no, no. But speaking the truth in love. Did you catch that one? Speaking the truth how? In love. In all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love." Hallelujah. Each and every one of you is a part of the body of Christ. You are part of his church. and you have a role, you have an assignment, you have a call to fulfill. Amen? And as your pastors, come up here. I want you to look at her. As your pastors, our job, say our job.
Our job.
No, not you. Okay. Our responsibility is to help you find, walk in, and fulfill the plan of God for your life. That's why we're here. That's our passion. That's what we eat, sleep, and drink 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's on our mind continually to prepare you for the calling of God in your life. That's what we do. That's what we do. I don't say that for a pat on the shoulder. Woe to me if I don't do what I'm called to do.
I can't
do anything else. It's in me. It's just part of me. Amen? So say this after me. God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God has a purpose.
God has a purpose.
For my life.
For my life.
And I will find that plan.
I will
engage that plan.
I will walk
that plan out.
And
I will fulfill the great calling which the Lord Jesus Christ has assigned to me before the foundation of the world. Amen. Now give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thanks. She's a great pastor too, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Let's just have a worship moment. You know, come on, just worship. Let's just worship. Just pray in tongues. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We just worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. You're so glorious. We worship you. We bless you tonight. Lord, thank you for the plans you have for your people. Lord's plan to prosper him. Plans to for an exceeding great end, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's something we learned this week from the pastor in St. Louis here. Hallelujah. But see, what am I saying to you tonight? You can't be a spectator anymore. You know what? That we are a nation of spectators. You know, anything that you want to watch, you can pretty much find on cable or satellite anymore and sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours and just be a spectator. I'm not saying that's bad all through, but you know, we have to get in the game. Come on, somebody. We have to be a player. And I'm telling you, it's much more fun to be part of the action than to watch the action, than to just sit on the sidelines, you know, and watch all the things. No, we need to become participants. Look at your neighbor and say, become a participant in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So with God's help, that's what this series is all about. All right? It's, what did we call it? Neil, what did I tell you? The series is called Living in the Blessing. Hallelujah. And the subject tonight is the blessing released. The blessing released. Excuse me. Went from that moist air to this dry air. Hallelujah. How many are excited about this? I'm telling you, your life is never going to be the same. Now, how did this start for me? Well, I was several years ago. I was in my prayer time. I just simply was waiting on the Lord. No different than any other day. Wasn't expecting God to do or say anything in particular other than anything that he ever said. But all of a sudden, he just started to download in me. And I heard him say this. And when I say that I heard him say this, I'm not saying that I heard an audible voice, but you know what? Deep inside, that still small voice. How many know that the still small voice, when it's really God, is anything but still and small? It was like there was like a megaphone on each ear just blaring at me, but yet it was still small inside. And he said this, and I wrote it down word for word. He said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. It's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. And I heard it so clearly, and I wrote it down word for word. And I'll be honest with you, at that point, I really didn't have a whole lot of revelation or understanding of exactly what it meant. I had really no idea what it meant. All that I knew is that I knew that I knew that I knew that God said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. Now, over the years, God has been so gracious in beginning to bring that revelation to me, and as that has He's brought to me to the church. But, you know, to be honest with you, this was such a pivotal point in the plan of God for my life and for this church, that this phrase has and is affecting every single area of what we do and what we've done as we go forward as a church. Amen? That's the very reason. Can you get the vision statement up for me, please? The very reason that we decree and declare the vision that God gave us. Because it's God, this is who God called us to be. And you're going to understand this more and more as we go through it. I am a part of the vision of walking in love, abounding in faith, and manifesting what? The blessing in all the nations of the earth. Well, if you don't know what the blessing is, how are you going to manifest it? How are you going to bring it to the nations? And see, don't get tripped up by that word nations. The word nations basically means your social circle. Yeah, it can mean literally nations too, but more the people that you want, the people that God has called you to. Amen? So we're all part of this. So what happened was that summer, 2012, Pastor Jojo and I, we traveled down to Fort Worth, Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention. And we always like to go a day or two early because, you know, sometimes life is so busy and it gives us a chance sometimes to relax a little bit. But we knew that they needed help, so we headed over to the auditorium or the convention center where they hold it every year there in Fort Worth. And my wife had volunteered to go help them in the bookstore. You know, they have a huge bookstore down there during that time. So she was setting up there, and they were still needing help on the stage, you know, hanging the signs. And, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of construction that goes on, and most people don't know that. So I went over there and was helping them. So, you know, during our first break, I wandered over to the bookstore, you know, because I want to find my sweetie and see, you know, what she was doing. And as I walked by one of the book stands, something caught my eye that literally took my breath away. And would you bring the book, Ed, please? It was Kenneth Copeland's book called The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow to It. Because you see, just weeks before, God had spoken to me, said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. And I knew that this is what He was talking about. So, man, I snapped up two copies of that thing right there. You know, I didn't even wait, you know, and I couldn't hardly wait to get home to read it. And over the last 3 years now, this book and this revelation that God is continuing to open up to us, it's totally changed my life. It's changed our ministry. It's changed the entire outlook on what I do, how I do it, how I'm supposed to do it, and it's going to do the same for you. Can I hear an amen? So beginning tonight, with the Lord's help, of course, we're going to begin a journey that will revolutionize your life. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? It's going to revolutionize the way you think. It's going to revolutionize the way you act. It's going to revolutionize the way you speak. You'll never be the same again. Where else could you go for the price of admission that you got in here tonight? They didn't charge you, right? You weren't here. No, just kidding. If it doesn't change your life, this is my promise. I'll triple your admission price. I'll refund it to you. Hallelujah. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Go with me to Proverbs 10:22. Let's look at it. Let's look at the word. Cast your eyes on the living Word of God. Proverbs 10. Say amen when you're there. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it or with it. The new international version, we don't have that particular version on the screen here. What is that background? It's what? Oh, okay. Ah, hallelujah. The new international version says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. I receive it. The blessing of the Lord does what?
Brings wealth.
It makes one rich. Now, people who rail against preachers like me who talk about prosperity, they don't understand that rich is a Bible word. I didn't make it up. God did. But you have to understand, the rich means a lot more than what most people tend to think. It means to accumulate, to grow, to build up, especially in things by which one is enriched, much, much more than just money. Amen? So let's turn now to Galatians chapter 3. Go over to the New Testament now. I'm going to share a scripture with you that has turned my life around probably more than any other scripture that I can think of, and continues today to be one of my most favorite scriptures to read, to speak, and to think and meditate on. Galatians 3, verse 13. In the King James, it says this: Christ has redeemed me. Redeemed us. That is past tense, right? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? And you could say, you could put in order that he became a curse on the tree in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Now go down to verse 29. And if you be Christ, let's stop right there for just a minute. How many are born again children of God tonight? Everyone, raise your hand. If you are born again, then right here is your promise. If you be Christ, what? Then you are Abraham's seed and what? Tell me what? You are heirs according to the promise. Now, if you don't know what the promise is, it doesn't do you any good to be an heir, because you won't even know what belongs to you. Amen? That's why we're here. Hallelujah. When you became born again, you became the seed of Abraham. You became a product of a blood-sworn oath, a covenant that was established between God and his firstborn son. Come on, somebody. Now, because of this, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the anointed one and his anointing, he is your and my blood brother. See, when we say things like that, most people don't get too excited, because we live in a culture, they have no idea what that means. They have no idea what a covenant is. What does that mean? See, we don't know anything about blood covenants. But I'm telling you, the people of the day knew exactly what he was talking about when Jesus walked the earth. Very familiar with it. The American Indians, that's the closest example I can give to, very, very cognizant of covenants and what they mean. The American Indian, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I remember when I was young, used to love watch Cowboys and Indians on TV. You know, and I used to always, it seemed like I always saw them at some point, man. They're always these adversaries, but somehow they'd get together and make peace. And you know, the cowboy and the Indian get there and they'd cut their hands. How many know what I'm talking about? And they'd put them together and they'd swear this blood sworn oath. Now they were blood brothers. Amen? How many remember that? So I had my friend, little Johnny Bruno, lived on the corner. We were best of buddies, so we would take a pin and we'd prick our fingers and we'd go like this and say, okay, now we're blood brothers. We got a covenant. Johnny and I have a covenant together. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we prick our fingers, make ourselves blood brothers. That meant now we're standing up for you. I'll fight for you. You'll fight for me. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. I'll protect you. You'll protect me. We're covenant blood brothers. That's what it means. Amen? And so when I saw this in the Word for the first time, man, I tell you, I got excited. Why? Because I saw, look right here. I began to see that all the curses of the world, they did not have a right to be in me anymore. That I didn't have to be poor no more. I don't have to be sick anymore. I don't have to be in bondage anymore. Man, I got excited. Come on, somebody. That doesn't mean I got immediately healed. That doesn't mean I got immediately out of debt. Doesn't mean I was immediately made rich. But boy, I tell you, on the inside, I found something. I found something that I can live my life on and that will turn my life around and I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. See, my life had many circumstances at the time that didn't agree with the Word. But I knew it's only a matter of time. Did you hear what I said? Maybe all of your, may all of the facts and figures in your life right now don't line up with it. But if you won't quit, guess what? It's only a matter of time. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Why, we're entering in 2016, the year of the breaking loose. Come on, somebody. Wow. Wow. I had a blood covenant with Almighty God. And I know, I found out God is rich. And God is powerful. And if God says it, He'll do it. Amen? And I found out because of this, now God has promised to back me the exact same way He backed Abraham. Why? Because I'm a seed and an heir according to the blood. God is going to back me. God is going to back you the same exact way. Hallelujah. We need to start putting some pressure on the Word. Some pressure on the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I am not under any curse anymore, including financial. How about you? And folks, I toiled for years. I trying to get rich. You heard my real estate schemes and all that stuff. Man, trying to get myself wealthy, trying to get myself, you know, someone that people admired, work harder. The harder I worked, the less it came to me, it seemed like. Oh, but now I saw it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham is mine. And I just want to tell you that I have adopted something ever since that first time that I saw that book. Brother Copeland, when he writes about it, he always capitalizes the blessing in all capital letters. And I call it the blessing as distinguished between a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? So anytime you hear me say that, you can think capital letters, the blessing. Hallelujah. And so the blessing of Abraham was ours. I had a blood covenant. The curse is broken. I can go free. And I'm telling you, over the years, literally, we've seen hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt disappear. Haven't been to a doctor in years. Our bodies are healthy. Our minds are sharp. We live in freedom. Why? I have a blessing. Hallelujah. I now have a rich mindset, a prosperous mindset, a mindset that tells me my days of struggling are over. Look at your neighbor and say, your days of struggling are over. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad I came tonight. Man, I just preached myself happy. And I'm telling you, that's the mindset that we've adopted in this church. And one of those mindsets is that we'll never, did you hear what I hear? Never, never ask people for money. Never. Yeah, where we receive offerings, tithes and offerings, according to the scriptures, right? We'll teach what God's word says about tithes and offerings, but we never put pressure on people. The minute someone, some preacher, some missionary, some tries to put pressure on you, but to manipulate through emotions or compel you, you know, just say, thank you, but no thanks. Because that's not the way God is. That's not how God works. We want the seeds we sow to grow and become. Yes. Right?
Right?
And so that's why we're spirit-led in our giving as well. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, a true man or a true woman of faith never puts pressure on people. They always put it on the covenant of God, on the word of God. Amen? So we now put the pressure on the blessing of Abraham because it's ours through Christ. And it's going to bring us anything and everything we'll ever need. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And folks, we make no apologies for preaching financial prosperity. It's part of the blessing. Amen? But we also realize, now listen, don't go out just hearing that part. We also realize that the blessing is much, much more than just financial. Financial is just a small part of it. But you need finances to live in this earth, right? We need finances to bring forth the kingdom of God, to preach this gospel around the world. It needs to be on every available voice possible. And it takes money to do that. Hallelujah. 2016, the year of breaking loose, including your finances. Hallelujah. 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 So, you know, we're understanding more and more of this every single day. We're getting revelation every day, you know, on new birth, on salvation, you know, seeing into the healing aspect of this thing, the peace aspect, the gifts of the Spirit, all those things. But see, this is how we grow. You grow bit by bit. A truth here, a truth there. Amen? And then we keep building up each other. But you see, that's why it's so important to come to church on a regular basis. Now watch this. Because truth has a cumulative effect. Or, if you haven't been to church, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Bit by bit, line by line, precept by precept. That's why it's important to be in church. So tonight, let's begin at the beginning. Let's look at the one blessing that's recorded in Genesis chapter 1. Go over there with me. That God set forth. This is God's will for all mankind. For all time. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
It's His will for all mankind for all time. How many would like to know the will of God for their life? Okay. You came to the right place tonight. Amen. Why? Because God put it on page 1 of His book. And the rest of this book, literally, from Genesis to Revelation, other than Genesis 1, Genesis 2, from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation, the rest of this book is about supporting the blessing. Some of you are going, I'm not so sure about that. All right, just hang in there. Hang in there. Did you find Genesis 1? All right, so let's start in verse 27. I'm going to read you out of the King James. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given to you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Oof, we had some revelation on it this weekend. Holy moly. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified first. Now verse 28. We'll put that up on the screen for you. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all of its vast resources in the service of what? God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Let me read it to you out of the brand new Amplified. God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power. Putting it under your power. Why? Because you have all authority. And rule. In other words, dominate the fish, the birds, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. The only thing we're not supposed to dominate is another person. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. With this one blessing right here, God bestowed to the family of men everything they'd ever need to become all he created them to be and to do in his plan. Right here. Now watch this. This is so powerful. We were sitting with our mouths wide open this weekend. Go back to 28. And God blessed them. What is the blessing? The blessing is an empowerment from God. It's the ability. It's the power. It's the to enlarge, to increase, to come up, to expand, to multiply. So he blessed them. And so in the even the words blessed reside the very power for that to happen. Okay? But then he said what? So here's the vision. Here's the plan. Here's the call. God blessed you. He empowered you. Now here's what he wants you to do. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion. The Amplified says, have complete authority. So that's his vision and his plan for you and I. That's his plan. So now he's blessed us. He's empowered us, right? Because of the blessing. He's given us a plan and a purpose. Now he's going to give you seed to accomplish the purpose. Look at verse 29. And God said, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed to you. It shall be meat. You can write under that provision. There it is right there. That's the whole Bible in a nutshell right there. Three verses. He blessed you. He gave you a plan. And then he gave you the tools to fill the plan out. What is it? Seed time and harvest. That's why what we talked about in the offering time was so important. Seed, you grow, and you become. Why? So that I can take authority and replenish and subdue. So I can fulfill my plan. Are you seeing it? Yes. Hallelujah. This is all you'll ever need, right? One scripture right here. How many people on the face of the earth over the thousands of years have asked the question, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? The answer is right here. All they had to do is read the first chapter of the book. And God showed them, this is why you're here. This is why I'm here. This is why you're here. Amen? So as we go through this series, we're going to discover, how did the blessing become the blessing of Abraham? We'll track it through the generations, and we're going to see some amazing things that were accomplished because of the blessing. Say, the blessing. And then we'll clearly see that how through Christ, the blessing has been given to us. We've just seen it briefly, right? So as we go through this, let me encourage you this. Keep your mind open, okay? Forget about what that denomination used to tell you, you know, because I may say some things that may challenge some beliefs that you've had. Amen? Or what you've been taught or what you've believed. And if they do, don't just dismiss it or don't just think I'm some kook. You know, don't take out your gun and shoot me. Be open. Go home and prove it for yourselves. And I tell you all the time, those of you who've been here for a while, don't believe a single word I say unless you can prove it for yourself in this word. But don't come to me with your argument and say, well, you know, Grandma so-and-so used to say, I don't care what does the word say? Right? Now, you know, I've been at this for a while, but I'm still human. I can make an error, right? The Bible says that we know in part, right? We see and know in part. So I don't know everything. I know a few things. And as Brother Hagin used to say, the more I know, the more I learn, the more I know how much I don't know. Does that make sense? So what am I saying to you? Prove it to yourself. Get in this word and prove what I'm teaching you tonight. Amen? Keep your mind open. So let's begin with two scriptures. Go to Malachi 3, and then in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, go to Hebrews 13. Is anybody encouraged about what we're talking about here? Hallelujah. I just want to dance a jig when I get to talk about the blessing. Amen. I mean, it's just so exciting when you begin to understand what it will really do for you. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, verse 6, the first part of the verse. No, it's the last part of the verse. No, it's the first part of the verse. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I change how? Not. Okay. Hebrews 13, 8. Did you find that one? King James says this, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. Is that correct? Well, we have two witnesses here. We have one in the Old Testament. We have one in the New Testament. And what does that witness say? God does not change. Amen? Has God changed? No. Now, if God has not changed, then has His will changed?
No.
Has Genesis 1:28 changed or become any less important now that we're in the new covenant?
No.
Why not? God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Why is this important? This is vitally important for you to get in inside. Because you can walk into one church and you can hear that it's God's will to bless His people, you heal them, prosper them, increase them in every area like you're hearing tonight. But then you can walk into another church and you hear about how it's God's will for you to be sick and how it's God's will for you to be poor and it's how it's God's will for you to be in bondage because by God He's trying to teach you a lesson. But see, what people do is they take bits and pieces of Scripture to back up what they believe, and so because of that, this argument has continued for years. Sad part is it doesn't have to happen. God, in the very beginning, laid out His will for all mankind in the beginning of this book. He was clear about His intentions, clear about what He wants for you and me, what our assignment here is on the earth. Amen? But, well, many would argue, well, yeah, but that was, you know, then Adam and Eve sinned. Yeah, they did. And there's no doubt that sin messed things up. It certainly did. But it does not change the fact that God does not change, right? Nor the fact that His will has not changed. God's will for all mankind, for all time, His will for you has not changed since the day Adam was created. Amen? God still means what He said in the very first verse in the Bible. Come on, somebody. And as you read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it begins to describe and illuminate, you know, who God is. But God can be summed up in basically three spectacular words in 1 John 4. God is love. God is love. Praise God. The Old Testament says the same thing many ways. For example, He's full of compassion, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth, gracious, full of compassion, long-suffering, full of mercy, slow to anger. His tender mercies are over all His works. What is that all saying? God is love. Amen? And so when you begin to see and understand this about God, it helps to get us into a place of understanding of why He created this earth in the first place. Go back to Genesis 1. Let's look at 1. Genesis 1:1. Let's go there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. You could read it this way. In the beginning, God, who is absolute love, compassion, and goodness, created the heaven and the earth. God that does not change created the heaven and the earth. Wow, what a way to start. Amen? And it makes sense to think that if compassion was behind the creation of the earth, then compassion must be the reason for creation as well. I looked it up in the Word. The definition for compassion is to free others from their suffering. Compassion can't be satisfied with selfish endeavors. Compassion needs a family. That's why God created you and me. He needed someone to love. So in the most literal of ways, you could say that God built His family a home out of His own love and compassion. He brought forth out of His own essence and His own glory a place that would reflect His all-consuming desire to bless His people and His family. Bless them and surround them with goodness. So you see how ridiculous it is to say to someone that, well, God put this on me and God put that on me, teach me a lesson. Baloney. Amen? As my daddy's baloney socks. I never figured out what that was, but baloney socks. You know, I mean, yeah, I guess it was because my dad didn't cuss, so I guess that's, you know. No, God is love. God is compassion. God's mercy. His mercy and tender works are over all, including you. He crowned this family of man He created, you and me, crowned us with glory and honor. Hallelujah. And He made us to have dominion over His works. In other words, to have complete authority over this earth. Why is this earth in such bad shape? Can I tell you why? Because the church has not exercised the responsibility it had to have complete authority. We've let it happen. We have no one to blame but ourselves. But I'm telling you, 2016, the year of breaking loose. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'll go there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Between verse 1 and verse 2 is probably millions and millions of years. People say, well, what about the dinosaurs? Right there. Right after verse 1. Millions and millions of years. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 2. Let's read it the way it's written first, and then let's do a little research. It says, verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I had, for years, I had a problem with this, and I couldn't figure it out. But one day, boing, the light went on. Thank God for revelation. Revelation brings revolution in your life. Revelation will bring a change. If you look this word up, it actually the word should be became. See, I had a trouble with, if God created the heaven and the earth, how could he form something that had no form and was void and dark? Right? Would God form something like that? Absolutely not. So when you look it up in the Hebrew, it actually means the earth became tohu and bohu, which means without form and void. It became. So between verse 1 and verse 2, you have, I don't know, the dinosaurs, the ice age that killed them off. You have the fall of Lucifer. Because when he came to earth, God removed his presence, and now the earth became without form and void. Do you see it? That's just a little bonus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let's go back to verse 27 again. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. These were the very first words that mankind ever heard, that ever came into the ear of man, that Adam heard. The most important words that God ever spoke to any man at any time, because they carry with them God's unchanging plan and God's unchanging purpose for you and me. Come on, somebody. Kenneth Copeland says in his books, I quote, he says, these words, he's talking about these words, they settle once and for all the eternal truth that God's will for man is the blessing. Hallelujah. So put up Proverbs 10 for me again. So let's go back there. Let's look at the blessing. The blessing. The blessing of the Lord, what does it do? It makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, the problem in the church is that the word blessing has been so stripped down of the real meaning. When people hear it, they hardly pay any attention to it anymore. Here's where you usually hear it. Thank you. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying you can't say that, but see, that's what my, oh, bless you. What's that? They either refer to the blessing in that category, okay, or here's the other, now watch this. Now I'm really going to stretch you, okay? Is that all right if I stretch you a little bit? Is it all right if I step on some toes? I didn't hear a real big consensus here. Because I'll pray for you, lay hands on you, your toes will be healed, okay? Is that all right? Many people refer to the blessing in conjunction with sickness and with poverty and with calamity. Watch this. By referring to it, I told you I'm going to step on your toes, as a blessing in disguise. Really? Well, that was just a blessing in disguise. I wrecked my car. But, I got a new one. So it was a blessing in disguise. Really? Okay. You're telling me that God disguised that tornado that leveled your house, killed your pets, wrecked your car as a blessing in disguise? No wonder the meaning of the blessing has been lost. Amen? Now, understand, we know that God can take which the enemy meant for harm and evil and turn it around for good. But it was not a blessing in disguise. Because Even a 3-year-old can understand what I'm about to say. God is good all the time. He doesn't level your house to teach you a lesson. He doesn't give you cancer so that you'll learn what it means to put Him first, according to Matthew 6:33. And all the rest of those things will be added to you. God does not put sickness and disease and financial distress on people. Now, ever. If He did it even once, then there was not a single line in here we could believe. Not one single word that we could believe. But He never has, He never will. So you need to get that thing, you need to get that phrase out of your mouth. You need to get it out of your language. And if you've been saying it, you'll catch yourself and just, you know, catch yourself and repent. But it's not a blessing in disguise. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. See, people believe these kind of things. They've just been brainwashed by tradition, really. That God actually sends bad things in people's lives to teach them a lesson. I mean, how ignorant can you be and still breathe? I'm sorry. I mean, it just annoys me when people say, well, God, you know, did this. God took my child home. Baloney sauce. I like that BS. I didn't realize that. Took me 62 years to figure it out, and I figured it out.
Revelation.
This lady had her 4-year-old daughter die in her arms. Little Autumn. Did God do that because He needed another angel in heaven? You understand, to be an angel would be a demotion? That you're higher than the angels? But the good news is she didn't get bitter. She understood. It wasn't about what God did. It was about what the devil did. But here's the thing. When someone gets a vision of heaven, when people get a vision of Jesus, they don't want to go back. She was in a coma. She came to. Her last words were, "I see Jesus." Why would she come back? But she'll be there. And she'll still have a mommy to raise her up in heaven. But it wasn't. It can't be, and it never will be, a blessing in disguise. Okay? Hallelujah. I just really felt like I had to really push that point through tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting sick is never a blessing. It's a curse. Going broke is never a blessing. It's a curse. Amen. Being in bondage is never a blessing. It's a curse. Amen. Sickness is not what teaches you truth. Being broke is not what teaches you truth. If being broke taught people truth, then every person on the face of the earth would be a spiritual giant. Because most of them are broke. I mean, come on, somebody. It's sometimes I wonder if Christians turn off their brain when they become born again. No, we gave us a brain to understand this word. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's another meaning for the word blessing that's even more exciting that we've talked about already. And the definition is different because this definition, God is actually involved in the definition. When God is the one speaking the blessing, like in Genesis 1:28, the blessing is not only defined as to say something good about someone, it's certainly that, but it's more than that. It's really exciting. When I first heard this, the Lord gave me this revelation. I mean, I about danced out of my shoes. When God speaks the blessing, It's actually a declaration which empowers you to prosper. Hallelujah. In other words, what I'm saying is, within the very words that are spoken, when he says, thee be blessed, those words, be blessed, the actual words contain the enablement for them to happen. For them to come forward. For them to work in your life. See, we talked about the blessing. What is the blessing? It's the power and the ability to expand, to grow, to increase, to multiply. The blessing of God is on you. The favor of God is on you. And I'm telling you, I never saw it so powerfully as I saw it this weekend. And that is the blessing in connection with a divine connection. If you know anything about Brother Jerry's life, if you listen to him, if you read his books, he has some of the most amazing stories of the favor of God on his life. And when you supernaturally in the Spirit align yourself in a divine connection with him, the same blessing, the same favor that's on his life, on his ministry, now comes on you. We did that. It's on us. It's on us, not just for us, it's on for you, for this church. There's a divine connection where the blessing and favor of God is going to work on your life like you've never seen it before. That's why I know that I know that I know that 2016 is the year. The year of the breaking loose. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, if you could just see his place down there. How many acres? Just done with excellence. Everything, the house, the ministry, the church, the building, every just excellence. And it's all paid for. Not one penny of debt on it. And they're just like Kenneth Copeland, they just discovered gas on some of his property. Now they're starting to get royalties. Living off the grid, and they're paying you to do it. That's the blessing. And God is not a favor, you know, it is not a favor of people. Hallelujah. See, the very same power that created the worlds when God said, light be, that very same power is in the words when God says, be blessed. Be blessed. There's power in that. There's power in that. We need to start walking in it. Hallelujah. I told you this series is going to change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's declaration actually empowered man to prosper. It released the divine resources that would make the blessing not just a spiritual reality, but a material reality as well. Hallelujah. It endued God's family on earth with all the power they'd ever need to do what? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Let me close with this. Go to Colossians 1, please. This is just the introduction. We're just warming up tonight. Colossians 1 verse 12 says this in the Amplified, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in life. What is that inheritance? Do you know what the inheritance is? The blessing. Oh my goodness. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and out of the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. God has translated us into his kingdom. See, to translate means to move from one place to another supernaturally. And now I know you know more about this than you think you do. Why? Because most of you out there are the Star Trek generation. Come on, how many watch Star Trek? Yeah. You know what it means to be translated, right? Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Lordy. That's what God did. Supernaturally, the minute you said yes to Jesus, supernaturally, you got beamed out of darkness and put in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Thank God his amen is right. Whew. Hallelujah. Let's just have a little worship session here. Come on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, trasina mondresina. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring so much about us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for blessing us. Lord, thank you for increasing us. Thank you that's your plan and your will for us for all time, for all mankind. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, the reason I say this, why did I say that? Because you understand that now that you're in a kingdom, a king, what is a kingdom? It's the domain of the king. And it's not run like a democratic government where we all vote and this is what we'll do. No, no, no. What the king says goes. But the way that you regulate a kingdom is with your words, your mouth. So we have to understand, we're in a kingdom. And the kingdom is not a place. Heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's a system. It's a form of government that's ruled and regulated by the words you speak. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is where? Inside you. The kingdom is in on the inside. How do you bring it from the inside to the outside? With your words. Because we live in a voice-activated universe. Hallelujah. Almost done here. See, that's why believers get so upset and irate over our government, because it operates on the Babylonian system. What is the Babylonian system? It's a system that's designed to operate without the help of God. We all know that one. And do you know that the only... Well, okay. Sure. All right, yeah, we'll go there. Do you know how the Babylonian system works? You know it more than you know. It works by taking what you have and giving it to someone else. I mean, do you see this? It's based on a redistribution of wealth by taking it from one person. Here, let me take what you have. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You don't need it anymore. She needs it more. That's how the Babylonian system works. You take it from one person and give it to another. They call that equality. But in reality, it's ungodly and it's unbiblical. And I must say, our current administration is working overtime to try and make that happen. That's all I'll say about that. It's a socialistic system. But, and saints, understand, the only way a socialistic Babylonian system can operate and work is by the redistribution of wealth, because it can't supply something that it doesn't have. It can't supply something it doesn't have. Its resources are limited to what is already there and available. Do you see this? That's why their only recourse they have is to take it from one person and give it to another. What a wonderful system. The kingdom of God, on the other hand. Man, you should be shouting by the time I get to this one. The kingdom of God, on the other hand, supplies things to us that cannot be seen, but still exists. It supplies things to us that hasn't even appeared on the earth, but we call them forth by calling those things which be not as though they are. I'm telling you, the major supply of resources that we'll ever need still hasn't even appeared on this earth. But they're there. Why? Because God would not make an earth that did not have everything that you need. Because he told you in the very first page, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. How? Using your faith and your words. And one more thing, your seed. Oh, man, I'm preaching good tonight. Your seed. Don't forget your seed. Through faith and prayer and the sowing of seeds, oh, those needs manifest in the natural. And there's no end to them. That's why for you and I, for a Christian, there is an inexhaustible supply. I'm telling you, there's nothing that Earth Day really fries my, you know what. Because it's all Babylonian garbage. We have to save the earth. Can I help you with that one? Can I help you with that save the earth deal? Please, can I?
Yes.
We can't save the earth. Do you know that it's going to burn up?
Yes.
It's going to burn. It's going to burn. One of these days, it's going to burn. Hallelujah. But for you and I, until that time, there's an unlimited supply. Come on, somebody shout to God. Hallelujah. Let me prove. Romans 8:19. Let's put it up on the screen for you. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Look at your neighbor and say, you are the son of God. Or the daughter of God. What is this saying here? The world is waiting for the blessing to be released around the earth. Because it says in verse 22, look at it again. The earth is groaning under the curse. The earth is dying and it knows that it needs the blessing. And it'll be there as long as we need it. Until we hear the trumpet. And then we'll go up in the air and then it's going to burn up. And then it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Come on, somebody. And it won't have all the sin and all the degradation that it has now. And I'm pretty amazed by that. Because I think we live in a pretty amazing world. There are some gorgeous things in this world. We live in Colorado. Come on, somebody. How gorgeous is it under the curse? Think about Colorado without a curse. Oh, man, we're in for some fun, some times ahead, right? Amen? But see, the world needs the blessing. And how is God going to get the blessing to it? You and me, I'm a part of the vision, walking in love, abounding in faith, and manifesting the blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now you're beginning to see why this revelation has so affected everything we do and say in this church. The world needs the blessing. And that blessing is on you. It's on me. You and I are blessing carriers. You are a blessing distributor. See, we just have... The problem is, and I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anybody here, we need to take... We need to get ourselves out of the lack mentality and realize the more that you give, the more you're going to get to give.
Yes.
Are you there? Some of you, I'm not sure you're there. Hallelujah. We are designed to carry the blessing and fill up the earth with the blessing. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose for you and for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's put our vision statement up, would you please? I'm going to read it, and you can say it with me, but I'm going to stop in between, so give me just a minute. So let's say this. I'm a part of the vision of walking in love. Stop. So remember, your faith works how?
By love.
By love. So unless you have this first part, forget the rest. You have to walk in love. Faith works by love. I'm a part of the vision of walking in love, abounding in faith, and manifesting, stop, enlarging, expanding, growing, and increasing the blessing to all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you learn something tonight? Why don't you stand up? Let's just give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This teaching has been brought to you today free of charge by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.